Blog Talk USA. Are you tired of waiting for change? Tune into Blog Talk USA. Let your voice be heard on Blog Talk USA.
Welcome, 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 everyone. This is an exciting day for me because I have been off for a couple of weeks or so. So it is great to be right back here again on Monday night on none other than Marvelous Monday. And it has been a marvelous Monday, a very busy Monday, but we're happy to be right back here with you. So we're going to start out by saying that we hope all of the mothers that are listening out there had an amazing holiday weekend. We had an outstanding Mother's Day weekend, sharing it with children and grandchildren, lots of good food and fun, and lots of rain. We had lots and lots of rain here in East Texas. We had lots and lots of rain in Northeast Texas, I should say. We were in North Texas and lots of rain, but that didn't stop us from celebrating. We were just cautious as we were out there in the community. And then as we got back to East Texas, it was just as much rain. So, but we survived it, and it was great, and we had an amazing time this past weekend. I'm going to find out who's on with me, and if no one is on but me, I'm going to carry on. I'll carry the ship until the sailors come and be a part of it. So I know Mr. Arthur is at city council meeting in Lancaster. That's his city. In regards to dog biting is what he said that they're talking about. And so he has to come on and give us more about that because I can't really dialogue on it because I wasn't for sure. I'm not for sure if someone's animal bit another person or just if they're just talking about it, dogs roaming around unattached and to their owners, if that's what they're discussing. But we'll wait there. So we know he's not on right now. So Pastor Cooper, are you on with us? Okay. So Dr. Hagney, are you on with us? I'm calling rolls. And so Dr. Carr, we haven't heard from Dr. Carr in a minute, and hopefully that the campaign is going well for him. As you know, he's running for state rep out there in Arkansas. And so we're pulling and pushing for him and support of him and prayerfully that he will take that seat. And if he does, I know that he will do an amazing job with that seat. Dr. Carr is a very astute, very renowned author, very outstanding citizen in his community there in in Arkansas. And we know that he'll do a fine job. He's an outstanding citizen, does his volunteerism and just actively involved in the community out there. So they asked him to run, and so I'm happy to know that he is. And so we'll have to come bring him back one day and just give us an update. That election is actually November of 2024, and we're just not that many days away from election time. We're about to, we're over halfway, about halfway into May. I think today is the 13th, and it is May 13th. And so we're almost halfway into May. Time is just moving very rapidly, very rapidly. So so we're just finishing up with an election here in Tyler, Texas. We had a city council race that That was three people that were involved in that race. That's District 2 of the city of Tyler, Texas, a position being held right now by Councilman Broderick McGee. He is terming out at this go-around. This is his third term that was supposed to have ended last week. However, it did not because of the fact that the three people who were in that race did not get 50+1%. So therefore, he has to remain until we have a runoff. Of course, the runoff is June the 15th, and that's on Juneteenth weekend. And so early voting begins on June the 3rd. And so we're encouraging people to get out to the polls and vote. That district is one of the districts that our ancestors fought for, that people of color, black people in particular, would have the opportunity to have their voices being heard by a person that looked like them. And so since that time, that position, District 2 and District 3, my district as well, have been held by African Americans. And so this time around, we had Caucasian gentlemen that ran. So there were three people that ran, the Caucasian gentlemen. And then, of course, there was two African Americans, one principal, one nurse. And then I believe the Caucasian gentleman is a insurance person. So he came out with the top votes. And then after that, the female came out with the next number, and then the male African-American came out with less. But even if you put the two blacks that ran, they still did not exceed 50+1%. So it still would have been a runoff, it looked like. So here we are preparing for that runoff. So we're encouraging, if there's anybody that lives in District 2, get out to the polls to vote. Get out to the polls to vote. So that's what's going on in Tyler, Texas. And then there were, there were county commissioners that ran, and Ms. Wilson won that one seat. Well, when I say she won, she exceeded the 50+1, and then whomever she was running against did not. So, and she's on a Democratic ticket, so that election, the final part of that election will take place in November 2024. So everybody get ready. Once again, May, then June, then July, then August, then September, then October, and then November. So it won't be long before it'll be time. We're almost halfway into this year, and it seems like, guys, that we just had Christmas, and it looks like that this year is almost halfway over, and it's just hard to believe how time is moving on. It's flying. It's going very, very fast, and we better get ready. Time's moving. So the other thing that I want to make mention is that, and we're really, really excited about this. There's a lot of things that have been going on. We've attended a lot of events, and we thank Dr. Carolyn Harvey and the National Black Leadership Initiative on Cancer, for which I'm a member and helped to get that started here in Tyler, Texas, had a mental health conference. And so I believe that was this past Saturday, could be this Saturday coming up, but I won't be able to participate, and I'll tell you more shortly. But at any rate, we're just having a lot of things going on, But I want to share with everyone that speaking of all the rain that we've gotten, we were awarded a grant with NASA. NASA and University of Texas, at Houston Health Science Center. And in conjunction with, we'll be collaborating with the Northeast Texas Health Department here in Tyler, Smith County Health Department. And so we were able to bring on four other community-based organizations that are going to participate in this grant. It is a three-year grant, and we're just really excited about it because what we're going to be doing is we're going to study and figure out ways that we can work with climate change. And a lot of people may not believe in climate change, but climate is changing. My family members who live in Omaha, Nebraska, just finished having a tornado up there in Kansas and Nebraska and all back in that area, right there in Omaha, Nebraska. It did not hit in the area where my family members live. They live north and west and northwest, and it hit in the southern part of Omaha, Nebraska. So the climates are changing. Places that did not have storms like that and did not have tornadoes like that. And then look at all the heavy rains that we're having. So our study in regards to that grant is to make sure that we don't have another Erie, that storm that hit us here in Texas in 2021. That's what that money is earmarked for. So we'll be studying and talking about ways in which that we can prepare so that our people in our city, in our cities across Texas that were affected by Storm Erie, that they will always have water, they will always have electricity. We spent 65 hours without electricity and had to continue working to make sure that people got off the streets. So we want to make sure that in this grant that we'll have some warming centers so that if people need to get from their homes and get into some warming centers. And then we want to make sure that, and another big thing that's going to be discussed and talked about, and that is solar panels. Some people are for solar panels, and some people are not for them. But I think it's coming, and I think that eventually we will have more solar panels. And so there will be various and sundry kinds of things that we will study and come up with to make sure that our people will be prepared. And so that next 3 years, we'll be working closely with the health department, NASA, and University of Texas at Houston's Health Science Center. This is the second grant that we have been able to work with University of Texas Houston Science Center there in Houston, Texas, and the second time for them and the very first time with NASA. So we're really, really proud to have that opportunity. So I wanted to share that with you, and that's going to be forthcoming. You're going to hear us talking a lot about it in the near future. We will get started in our planning phase of that grant in the next week or two. And then we were able to work with Dr. Jeanette Calhoun to get her use some of the housing money that our City of Tyler Housing Department had left over from the CARES Act, and we were able to purchase two homes for her to house AIDS patients, AIDS family, and their family members. So as you know, AIDS can affect the entire family, so this will be, one will be for men, and the other one will be for families, mothers, single mothers, who may be affected by AIDS and have children. And so to make sure that these children and these family members are taken care of and that they will be able to exist and not just exist, but to live comfortably and have all the things that they need, help them to find jobs if they're physically able to work, and just very happy about being able to do that. And we thank our director of our housing for the city of Tyler, Mr. Larry Everett, who is doing a great job in disseminating some funds in the northern part of my district. So we say thank you, City of Tyler, and there's some more things that we're working on making happen here in our community, in our city. So once again, let's see if anybody is on, and if not, I will continue. Ms. Rhea, Anna will let me know if there are others that are coming on. So far, I'm it. So the other thing that we want to talk about, we know that that the Stormy Daniels trial is going on, or I should say the Donald Trump trial is going on in New York. That's Attorney Braggs that brought that. Is it Braggs or is it? Sometimes I get them mixed up on, let's see, I think he is the one that is in, or maybe it's the female that's in New York. But at any rate, he is on trial, whichever district attorney it is. He is on trial there, and as you know, there's no cameras in the courtroom, and so we just have to depend upon the news people to keep us abreast of what is happening in the courtroom. They're doing some drawings, and that's kind of giving us what is going on, but not really, because it's kind of secondhand. It's interesting that this trial is, and a lot of people would have wanted this trial to be televised, but obviously we know that it's not. So we actually know that it was, let me see, Michael Cohen that was testifying today, and he's probably will be on there for the next few days, maybe a couple weeks, I'm not sure. But it's all about the hush money. It's the hush money trial that Stormy Daniels was given, the $130,000. And so just listening to commentators, they're talking about that it's almost a clear-cut thing that if you just open your eyes and ears and listen, that this hush money testimony did actually take place. I'm going to play a couple of excerpts, I guess you could say, and let you listen and see what your thoughts were. So this is an excerpt, I think.
I need to open up a company for the transfer of all of that info regarding our friend David, so that I'm going to do that right away. I've actually come up with it, and I've spoken to Alan Weisselberg about how to set the whole thing up with funding. And it's all the stuff, because, you never know where that company, you never know what he's going to be. Correct. So I'm all over that. And I spoke to Alan about it when it comes time for the financing, which will be, listen.
What financing?
We'll have to pay you. So,
No.
I need to open up a company for the transfer of all of that info regarding our friend David, so that I'm going to do that right away. I've actually come up with it, and I've spoken to Alan Weisselberg about how to set the whole.
Okay, so as you could hear, that's Michael Cohen that was speaking, and he was talking about how they were going to set up a company, I guess, to filter that money through. He's the star witness for the Trump case. He was intimately and up close involved in all of the aspects of of the hush money scheme. And so obviously they're going to say that that he is convicted and that he's a liar and that kind of thing. But now he's coming forth and saying what really happened. So obviously we know that he was still trying to protect, according to him, Donald Trump was still trying to protect him from the scheme or from getting in trouble or from going to prison or protecting him because he wanted to keep him in the presidency. And now he's coming a force and, as a matter of fact, kind of testimony that that he's saying that the president, the former president, actually did sign off. He says everything that happened within Donald Trump's administration, that it had to be signed off by him. But he was considered, meaning Michael Cohen, was considered as Donald Trump's fixer. He needed him to fix everything, make it go away. And so those are some of the things that Michael Cohen is saying right now in regards to what their past history was and how everything actually began to unfold. So the big question out there now, let me just back up and mention this as well. They're saying that that Donald Trump is going to face up to $100 million or may face up to $100 million plus tax bills if he loses the IRS audit, which, you know, we've heard that for a long time. He said that he was already being audited, but we're finding out now that he really is being audited and that he may have to pay a lot of money back because he falsified records saying that his what he owned was worth more than what it really was. And so it's just a lot going on. People are saying, well, why should we send a past president through this kind of situation? And so the question, I guess, would be out there to people, and we hear this all the time on all the talk shows and the radios and the podcasts and all of that, is a former president above the law, or should they be carried through a court of law just like us regular citizens who may have done the same identical thing? And so that's a big discussion. And so I understand from reading other articles that they are planning and preparing in the prison there in New York City just in case Donald Trump ends up being found guilty by the jurors and that he ends up, and then I don't know if that would be Rikers Island or if it would be someplace else. I don't know what it would be, but I think it would be Rikers Island. That's that federal prison out there in New York, one of the worst in the country, I've heard and read, and to see if, in fact, that is what happened. Of course, you know, he would have security and probably be a little bit different from what a regular regular person who actually committed the same crime would actually be in the general population. But obviously, because he does have security for the rest of his life, that he would not be part of the regular population. And so that would be probably another a little extra expenses to the country, because he would probably have a lot more security than probably what he has out in the real world, because it would be just a little different there in that city of prison. I call it a city because it's a lot goes on. It's almost like a military installation in the opposite sense, because you have everything that goes on in that particular installation. Nobody gets to go out except for the people who work in and out of the facility every single day. So it's the home of a lot of people, a lot of prisoners. So Cohen also boasted about the fact that he would take a bullet for Donald Trump. Now, he may feel very differently about that at this particular time, but he talked about the closeness, how close they were, and how much time they spent together. You heard him talk about that he called him at any given time. He could have been having dinner with his family, and he would exit from the family and take the calls from Donald Trump. And so for any time, day or night, he was just always the person who he stopped his life for, to go and to take care of him. And so let's talk a little bit about the behavior and everything that that is going on in the courtroom. According to reports, they talked about Donald Trump actually sleeping at the table. He immediately take a nap, or maybe he's not really taking a nap. Maybe he's just disinterested in what is actually going on around him. I don't know. But the other question is, now, how is this going to affect the election is the question. How do you feel that carrying this guy through a court of law, having a trial, having the jurors there to listen to all the tabloid practices, the industry of tabloids and all of that, and the jurors are hearing all these salacious acts and things that went on in Donald Trump's life, according to Michael Cohen, and according to Stormy Daniels, and according to even the guy that who owns the inquiry, runs the inquiry. There's just all kinds of things that have gone on. So do you feel that it is a good thing to have a prior president, former president, to actually go through a trial? And if in fact that it is going, or it will affect the election, and if so, how would it affect the election? He's thinking, meaning Donald Trump, is thinking that it's going to help him with his election. So many are saying, well, that's why he's just disassociating himself from the actual events that are going on each day in that courtroom, and that he will know, or he thinks, because once he gets out there in the community and he continues to talk, even though he's been fined many times, $1,000 here, $1,000 there, $1,000 here, some more, on and on and on, because the judge has told him to silence himself, but he can't seem to do that and silence himself. So he continues to have to be fined and have to pay for each one of those times that he's being out of order. So the judge is in charge. It's the judge's court. So let me check with Mr. Michael. He's trying to come in. That's Pastor Cooper. And so let's see if Pastor Cooper has come in. And I think Pastor Cooper, if you would just come on in, Pastor Cooper. But he tried to call, and maybe he's not able to get on. We'll see what happens. Let me see. I'll send him a message and tell him to come in. So I'm on, Pastor Cooper. You want to come in? Ms. Rihanna, are you there yet? Okay. Mr. Arthur, are you there yet? Pastor Cooper, you can come on in. I know you tried to reach me. I tried to make a phone call to me. So come on in and we can have a good discussion about a couple of so things that are going on in our community around and about. So
I'm here.
Okay, how are you doing?
Wonderful. How you guys doing tonight?
We're doing excellent. I was trying to find out, Pastor Cooper, about that dog bite. So I wasn't quite understanding.
No, there was, I think Brother Arthur was talking about it. He's at city council meeting about dogs is biting. I said, well, stop biting dogs.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I was trying to, Arthur didn't just, he didn't dialogue and describe it very well. And so
no.
I said, that sounded like a civil issue to me.
It does, yeah.
So why would that be before city council, right? That's the
maybe
part I didn't quite get.
Maybe something to talk about. Yeah, right, absolutely. So maybe they're in the thick of things. I thought he was getting ready to mention something about the Luke 12 meeting that they had.
Right,
but I guess the dog biting incident has more.
That was a week or so ago that he was working at that, was, I believe, on the Luke
That's
12
correct.
Issue.
The Luke 12, yeah. But I don't think we had a show to talk about it. So
exactly. So, that's why I was saying I was so happy to be back on tonight because it's been a minute since we've been on and been able to dialogue and discuss things here and what's going on, so much going on in the world. But Pastor Cooper, I want to share with you that I was opening up in our dialogue and opening, talking about the grant that we have been awarded, and we will be working with NASA. NASA and University of Texas Health Science Center there in Austin, my organization and the health department, and we're going to be working on climate change so that we were granted that for the next 3 years. And we're pretty excited about it for the simple reason the primary thing that we have to come up with is what we can do to avoid another ERIE that we got in 2021. And
wow.
So I know. And it's for the next 3 years. And it is a massive grant that EPA put out there into NASA. They put the money out to NASA, and NASA reached out and put the money out there for people to apply for it. And we were blessed to be able to be one of the ones who received it. And so
I've been working with the organization now for about 4 years, and that's one of the topics and the things that they've been working on.
Well, we got to make sure that we never experience that ever again. And I was saying that 65 hours that my home was without electricity, but there were more people that had like a couple weeks or so that it just took a long time for the electric people to get back around to all the people that were without electricity. It just took a long time here in East Texas, and in particular in Tyler. So that's what that, and we're going to be talking about some things that I've already jotted down for us to take a look at is warming centers, and then, you know, maybe using the convention center for warming centers, and then maybe some churches around in the city, and then of course solar panels we're going to see a lot more of solar panels, because if we got solar panels we won't be without electricity, right?
That's excellent.
Yeah. So those are some of the, and I don't know what you guys have, how are you doing with yours and what you're coming up with or what your actual mission and goal is, but that's our goal, is to be prepared if we ever have another storm like we had Storm Uri, and to make sure that our citizens in Texas don't ever be without that electricity. Serious.
Wow. That is excellent work.
Yes, yes. We were pretty excited about it. I submitted all my paperwork and everything, and then EPA called me on Thursday, I believe it was, and yeah, it was Thursday, and said your paperwork is great, everything looks good, and so we were happy to get that report, So it'll start in September, and so we're doing our pre-lid work now with the community-based organizations. I brought in four community-based organizations here in Tyler that's going to be working with us on that. So join in with us.
Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, I'm looking at the list of groups that we're working with. We're just in the beginning stage of bringing awareness to the area. And the thing that kind of struck me a little, I'm working on getting my construction company off the ground, and I have a region from Southeast Texas all the way up to Tyler, kind of backdooring you guys in all East Texas. Oh, yeah. And so anyway, I've been looking at sites to have, off-site offices. And it was weird is that I've been working on stuff like this, but I had a guy that's ex-military, he's an activist, and his thing is the environment. And he can literally tell me the areas not to build in and areas that have issues with the air and the atmosphere. I said, you're kidding. I said, I just found this out. I've been working on it for 3-4 years. And I thought Beaumont was bad, which we have all problems. But most of the air that comes out of ExxonMobil, which is most of the biggest plants is here, it ends up in Channelview and Baytown. So with their plants that they have there, it's 10 times the effect. And cancer is number one for the worst rate of cancer in the state of Texas, Channelview and Baytown area.
Is that right?
And I say all that to say, go back to your point about the freezing and the climate and all that. These plants are affecting that, and there's certain areas, and I just found out, Tomball in Houston, they're not allowing the plants in those areas. They're really concerned about ozone. They're concerned about quality of air. They have walking trails, dog parks. They really push family and outdoors and trees and replanting trees, because a lot of people don't realize. I'm looking at Beaumont right now. We're turning into Houston, where it's nothing but concrete, and we're pushing. I saw a deer on I-10 trying to get away from the flood zone. Oh yeah,
we're invading their space.
We're invading their space. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
So one believes climate change is real. It is.
There you go.
Wow.
Well, I tell you what, they better get ready for it, because I was saying in my commentary at the onset of the show is that we have tornadoes hitting where they have never hit before. Omaha, Nebraska, my family, I never had tornadoes up there, never. They had snow, but no tornadoes. And so tornadoes hit a couple weeks ago up there in Omaha, Nebraska. It hit in the southern part. Now my family lives in northwest Omaha, it hit. But they got the rain. Oh my gosh, the rains they said that they got was amazing. Just tons and tons of rain that hit that city.
I'm late getting on air tonight because it got dark here at 5:00. I didn't know what time it was. Normally I could tell about the time and look at the clock. But I've been running around doing honeydews, taking care of dogs. I have this little sick puppy, and so much going on. And I looked up and said, "Oh my goodness, it's 8:30," and I really could have been in another event, but I said, "I'm gonna make the show tonight. I'm gonna be on time." We have prayer with our city mayor and the judge. But I don't think a lot of people went because of the electrical storm. I mean, it was a very active storm here for about 2.5 hours.
Is that right? Well,
yeah,
see,
so
we had
global warming.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying this global warming is real in so many different aspects and areas that we're talking about it as though it's normal now. This is not normal.
No, it's not. You absolutely not normal. My daughter was saying to us, and we had a great Mother's Day weekend. I hope you guys had one as well. Yeah.
Yes.
But,
happy Mother's Day, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. We just had a lovely weekend. So we were in Dallas on Friday, and it was flooding.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then on Saturday, flooding. And then on Sunday morning, oh, my gosh, it was raining so hard. But
wow.
The people did not let that stop them from getting out to church. The children
yeah.
were in town visiting with their parents, and the church building was packed with people.
Yes.
Yes, it was. It was very good.
But people come out for the mothers. My dad used to
they
always
come
say,
out for
the they love their mama.
Mothers.
They love their mothers.
That's the truth. That's right. And it's interesting you said that because my son said, so when the minister was preaching, he said he was talking about the mother, and then he said the father too. And so he said, but that's for another Sunday. And so my son said, well, Mom, when it's Father's Day come around, they'll forget about all about us. The preacher won't even remember that. I said, yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
He will. He'll know. He'll know. What was it? June the 12th next month is Father's Day.
June.
And so
yes.
He'll remember. He'll remember. That's right. So much is going on. But it's back to your construction part. See, that's great to know, Pastor Cooper, because I tell them at council all the time that I want to see some of the contracts spread into some different areas, and they say, well, no one ever applies. So I want to make sure some people of color, some minority contractors will be able to apply for some of all of this money that we have in our city for various and sundry things. And I'm ready for that. And I said, if we don't have anybody that's in Tyler proper, we can move out into other areas and find spread the wealth and share the money with other ethnic groups and not just the same people getting the contracts over and over and over and over. So it's great to know that you have a company, construction company.
Yeah, well, that's where my background's from, and we did multiple things, including backhoes, box blade, you name it. We had 18-wheelers, dump trucks, tractors. I mean, we did a little of everything. But I'm trying to get in different aspects of it. And the other thing I'm trying to do this time, a little bit different, is to go around and find other minority men and women that choose to get into this work, because you have to do the paperwork, and I'm working with some minority groups right now, Black Business Networks, to show them how to do their C-Corp, S-Corps, create their own 401Ks, pay themselves, save for the future, those things. Because otherwise what happens is this, that you go around, no insurance. See, my father come from a time period where, you know, he's like, well, it's not feasible for me to have health care, life insurance. I mean, not life insurance, but health care. It was so expensive.
Okay.
But your life depends on it. And so what's the cost? So until we drive those costs down, we need to pay for that. We need to set that aside and consider that part of the saving, because I love one of the last things that Steve Jobs said, and he sent word out 58 years of age, same age I am now, before he died. He said, you're either going to feed yourself properly when you're young and live a good, healthy life, or are you going to feed yourself medicine? He said, so you need to take care of your oneself. And this is a guy that had everything. And the only thing he talked about towards the end was family, relationships, and taking care of your health.
Exactly.
And that's what Dr. Hagley is always talking about.
Right, that's right. He is always talking about it.
He's always talking about it. So, I mean, there must be some truth to it when a billionaire that died and was dying and his last days on the earth were, hey, it's not about how much money, how many cars, how many houses, how large the house is. He said it's about having someone to go and get you an aspirin. It's about eating right, exercising, and taking care of yourself, and you'll live a long life.
Exactly. Absolutely. I believe that.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to offer my condolences tonight to actually my husband's family. The last living legend in that family, that's his mother's family, that her baby sister passed away in California. We were going to actually go to the service this next weekend there in California. She was a longtime educator, 97 years of age.
Wow. Yes,
and she knew everything.
That's a good number.
Around her up until her death. And so we're so thankful for God allowing all of these years to live. And enjoy. She was amazing. Had one son, and one granddaughter. Well, then her son actually lost his wife, and then he ended up marrying another young lady who actually had had a son, and so she claimed that was her bonus grandson. And
wow.
Children, but that funeral is next week in California, which is where she lived. But we're quite proud of her. I tell you a quick story. When her first husband passed away, which was her son's father, there in Houston, then she ended up moving to California and taught school until she retired there. Well, when she, the schools where she was teaching, she got acquainted with a gentleman that was there, and they ended up dating and getting married. And so at that time, yes. So she lived in an apartment. She and her young son, and so then when she got married. Then he says, well, I want to buy you a home, right, and move you out of the apartment, and we're gonna buy us a home. So they went around. They live in Gardena, right? So they traveled around, Tess Cooper, and they went from this place to that place, and they find out about this subdivision and building new homes, and they were all available. But when they got there, they were suddenly not available. And so they finally caught on because he's a Caucasian gentleman and she's a black woman and very black woman, a beautiful black woman. So how about this? They figured it out, right? And so keep in mind, this was back in the 60s. So they figured it out. And so he went and found her a beautiful home and purchased that home and then moved his wife. He and his wife and her son moved in, and she was the first black to live in that subdivision because of him, because he figured it out that suddenly the houses were not available after they saw the black female show up.
That was in the 70s,
early 70s. Married.
So sad.
And he lived to be like 93. And then he passed away several years ago, and then she ended up living to be 97. So I want to actually do it. Once we get off radio tonight, I will do a proclamation in her honor. She actually hails from Tyler, Texas. So
wow.
It was a beautiful life, 97 years. But to be able to live that long and still be up on your feet and moving and getting out to go to church. And she had actually had her foot. She was a diabetic. She had her foot, part of her foot and toes amputated. But she was well taken care of. The kids would would pick her up, her granddaughter, and who took good care of her, and get her to church and get her to her doctor's appointments, and whatever she needed, she had it. So she lived a beautiful life, beautiful life.
Incredible. So, wow.
Yeah, it was 97 years of age, and to still have all your faculties still reading books and still talking on the telephone to her nephews and all of that was just, it's just a beautiful thing. It really is. It really is. So when we keep, take care of our children, and that's what the minister talked about on Sunday, that how we owe our parents to take care of them if they get sick in their latter years, because they took care of us when we couldn't take care of ourselves, right?
Correct.
That beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
Remind me of the Shirley Caesar song we had one of the ministers preach yesterday.
There you
he
go.
Quoted it.
There you go.
Yeah, that's an awesome song.
Let me tell you what. You are brilliant because you must have been watching and listening to our minister's subject on Sunday, because guess what his topic was? No charge. He talked about Shirley Caesar, and he says the little boy said, taking out the trash, $1. You know the story. You know how the song goes.
Yeah.
And he went down the line and carried you 9 months, no charge. Changed your diet, no charge. Wasn't that beautiful? I tell you, you
were absolutely awesome.
Exactly.
It was awesome.
That is exactly what it was about. Outstanding message. But our kids ever really grow up? Did they ever really, really
never,
grow up?
Never. And I enjoy my adult kids. I tell you what, I'm having a blast with them.
That's wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful.
And watch this now. It's not out of context either, because I'm still daddy. I'm still daddy. But I have adult kids, so yeah.
There you go. Well, I tell you that yes, it's great to have a great relationship with them, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's great, absolutely. Great to have a great relationship with them, and enjoy them, and keep that going, because so many don't have it, right? So many don't have that kind of relationship. But we're happy.
Well, it's also easy not to have that when you're a pastor, you know. But my kids get it because they, all their life, all they have is a crazy daddy that's a pastor. They don't know anything else, you know. There's no other options, you know.
Right.
But you know, but they know when I read the Word of God, it's the Word that's convincing and not condemning. It's the Word that's asking them to think about the decisions that they make, but it's no judgment.
Okay.
And so they lived in a no judgment zone, you know, because I have a son and my namesake, man, he still looked like Bob Marley's son, you know, he has the long locks and the tattoos, but let me tell you something, this guy has long suffering. He knows Corinthians 13:8, where love never fails. You know, he never met a stranger, there's no such thing as a hurt bird or dog that he sees on the way home. It can be flooding. He's getting out of his car. He's going to render aid. You know.
Wow.
So,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, you train when we train them well, right?
Yeah.
Then we're in good shape. We know that we can walk away, and they're going to carry on. They're going to remember what their last names are.
You said a mouthful. Wow.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah,
yes.
They're going to carry
and
on, and they're going to be just fine.
Right?
Not embarrassed. They're going to do just fine.
Yes,
wow.
Yes, they are. So that makes them proud. And you see, when Father's Day and when Mother's Day comes about, that is when we really see our teachings and how well that they grasp what we try to teach them. So that's a beautiful thing. Well, Pastor, let's talk a little bit about. I don't know if you've been tracking and keeping up with the trial that's going on. As you know, the hush money trial is going on right about now. Donald Trump is on trial, and we know that Michael Cohen testifies and is on the stand this starting today. And we know Stormy Daniels was on there on last week, I believe it was. And so the question that I hear, Pastor, everywhere I go is this trial going to help Donald Trump in the election in November, or is this going to hurt him in November? And if, in fact, he is convicted, if he should go to jail, go to prison. And that everybody is talking about that. And so they said it's going to cost a lot of money to house him. Well, he has security anyway, right? Won't he have security the rest of his life?
Correct, he will.
Right.
So
I get all kinds of some say yes, he should go to prison because he's not above the law. And then you can hear on the other side of the coin that he shouldn't go to prison. And nobody believes, that's on the other side of that coin, that any of this is true. And
right.
Then you hear other podcasts and they say, and if you're listening, it's obvious that this is not a made up, that this actually, this payment to Stormy Daniels actually really did happen. And I've been listening closely, and if you listen closely and hear the testimony, it looks like that the podcast people are saying on some of the networks, some of them, that it's true.
They know it's true.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they know it's true. Yeah.
So then you said they know it's true.
They know it's true. Yeah, they all know it's true. But they don't care. You have 50% of the country that's going to vote, do not care.
Right.
And if we want, Miss Open Lee receives her honorary doctorate degree from SMU.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah.
What are you talking about there? We'll circle back.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's, I don't like talking about women's age, but we're going to talk about her age because she is still spry and moving around. I love it. But I've been trying to ignore the trial, but it's hard to because it's everywhere. Our guy, Trump, whatever his name is, he has been gagged. He's been defying the judge and fighting the gag order. Now he has people that are speaking for him, surrogates that are speaking for him. You know, the judge is afraid. I know what it is. The judge doesn't want him to go to Rikers Island because he wants to be arrested. He wants to put that part of his campaign. He's campaigning right now.
That's all he's doing.
That's all he's doing. And the people that's going to vote for him, they're going to vote for him regardless. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is what the other people are doing now is making up their mind. You got another 2%. They can go left or right still, undecided folks, again, same ones probably from last time, that's trying to make up their mind. What do they want? They want the guy that's going to fly their flag. And it's the same flag that they find in Virginia. I don't know if it's Brother Arthur, somebody sent that where they're voting in the Confederate flags again and all of those things, those Confederate names of those folks that lost the war. I mean, that's ridiculous. But anyway, you have these folks that are now realizing that, hey, we're going to have to wake up and vote because last time they didn't vote and they thought that they had it in the bag, didn't need all of their votes. But now dead grandma and grandpa, they're all going to vote this time. You know, and that's why I tell poll workers, don't get comfortable just working a poll in your own neighborhood. You're going to have to get out in the rural areas and work. I sent a guy, he was in Orange County, and that's not an area that he normally works the polls in. And he worked the polls out there. Well, actually, it's Jefferson County, but he was in Port Arthur, Needland area. And he said, man, those folks are coming out and voting for everything that's on the ballot. We will forget about the district votes, the appraisal district votes, and those things like that, which we just had on the ballot. And people don't realize how important that is to your taxes and your homestead and everything else. Local politics is so important, and we miss it. And only when we get geared up is for presidential.
Right, right, right. Wow. Yep, that's the only one. That's the only one.
Yeah, and that's okay. But let's not turn our backs on the rest of them. I mean, I just saw on the news here, and I know we're talking about this guy Trump, but when you're talking about politics, you're still talking about Trump because Tubby, that is running for District 21 in the state of Texas, which is a pivotal district, which the way, like you say about East Texas, and we're in Southeast Texas, and the way we go is the way that the government goes. And if we lose the Speaker of the House, that is the Speaker of the House for all of the people and empowered a lot of Democrats, serious boards making a difference in black farmers, all of that is going to go away. They're not paying attention. It's going to go away. And so we cannot co-sign, and by ignoring what's happening with Donald Trump, we're co-signing the corruption. And that's all it is. It is modern-day corruption. And I just hope that the historians get it right in 10 years when they put this in the books and our children study it, that they report the news and don't whitewash it.
Exactly, exactly. So let me just play a little bit of what, so it says the former president Donald Trump arrived in court May 13th for his criminal trial as Michael Cohen prepares to take the stand. So let's see if there's anything playing there and see, hear what it has to say. I think it's 1 minute worth of something. Let me see if I can pick up something. No, I'm not picking up anything. Wait. Let's see.
In the bike. That's what I'm worried about. Of course, the 2024 election is in full swing. And yes, age is an issue. I'm a grown man running against a six-year-old. Well, Donald's had a few tough days lately. You might call it stormy weather.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, New York Times issued a statement blasting me for, quote, active and effectively avoiding independent journalists. Hey, if that's what it takes to get the New York Times to say I'm active and effective, I'm for it.
But before I begin tonight, can we just acknowledge how refreshing it is to see a president of the United States at an event that doesn't begin with a bailiff saying, all rise. And I would like to point out, it's after 10 p.m., Sleepy Joe is still awake. While Donald Trump has spent the past week falling asleep in court every morning.
Wow.
New York City playboy took abortion rights away, and the guy trying to give you your abortion back is an 80-year-old Catholic. How does that make sense? I'm not saying the candidates are old, but you know Jimmy Carter is out there. I could maybe win this thing.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
My Lord.
I know. It's funny. They're too much. So the talk show people and the those that tell jokes, they're going to always tell jokes, no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, those jokes are telling the truth. So that's where the humor is, that we're allowing this to happen in modern day. And
It
you have to laugh to keep from crying. You know, I guess that's the whole saying. It comes
you're
back.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Laugh to keep from crying. Because whether we stop and pause and think about it, it's a serious matter that's going on
really
in this country. I mean, it, some things you just can't believe, right?
Well, all of these things we can't believe, but it's happening, and it's almost as if though it's not happening, but I guess they crossed the line so much they have to ignore it. And I feel sorry for the people that support him and have no one else. I mean, this big old country, and we can't find anyone else to run.
I know.
That's running for the conservative order. I mean, really. I mean, there's so many choices, and this is the best choice, the only choice, really.
Right. And let me tell you, that Marjorie Taylor lady, okay, jump in. Somebody say, can I get in? Jump in. That's Mr. Arthur. Come on in, Mr. Arthur. I don't know if Miss Rihanna has the lines open, I'm pretty sure. So, Miss Rihanna, if you're listening, open the lines for Mr. Arthur. He wants in.
Please open the lines. He's going to be mad. He's going to think I have Dr. McKellar all to myself. He's going to be upset with me. He's jealous. He stopped biting dogs to get online.
Mr. Arthur, are you there, Mr. Arthur?
He's trying to get in. He's punching buttons.
He's trying to get Miss Rihanna now. Let him in. Let
him
in.
He's gonna blame me for it. He's gonna think I'm blocking him. He's gonna think I'm blocking him, not letting him in.
He said, "You've had me long enough, Pastor."
Yeah, yeah.
The time's up. Miss Rihanna, let him in. He's gonna be upset with us if we don't let him in.
Oh yeah. You're going to think we set him up. Yeah. Y'all did that on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Man. Let him in.
He's got his hands full up there.
Let him in. We got to talk about Africa. He's going to be upset with us.
Africa. We got Luke 12. We got 1 Adam 12.
Let me tell him to press 1 and see what happens. That ought to get you in. Press 1. Press 1. I thought Miss Rihanna would be here by now. I hear the dog.
Oh, yeah, somebody woke him up. My daughter's here with her cat, and the cat will run around. She was like old McDonald's farm in here.
You said you got the cat and the dog.
Yeah, we got the cat's chasing dogs now. So.
Isn't that funny? Exactly right.
Oh, yeah.
The dogs are afraid of the kitty cats now.
That cat is fast. Yes,
oh
indeed.
Goodness! Oh, let me get my other telephone and let me dial Mr. Arthur in, because
go ahead.
We don't want
no problem.
We have him upset.
Oh yeah,
we don't
have much time left either because we got to talk about Nigeria.
Right.
We have to talk about Luke 12. We have to talk about dogs is biting.
Exactly.
The biting dogs.
So, give him his opportunity. Okay, let me see where he is.
Yeah.
All right. Let me pull him in.
Can you hear me?
Pastor Cooper, we have Mr. Arthur on.
There he is, world traveler. All right.
I said we better get him in here because he's going to be mad at us if we don't.
Oh, no.
I know Mike had a great time, didn't you, Mike?
Oh, man, I had so much fun, man. We talked about everything under the sun, man. We can talk about Black Jesus. We can talk about Nigeria. We can talk about Luke 12, 1 Adam 12. We can talk about
biting
dogs. We got time. Hey.
Well, I hope you can appreciate the fact that all that's in my world right now.
I guess you have a busy world. Busy world. I'm telling you.
I told you about that, but another thing that happened was, and I went and interviewed them. There was in Dallas this past weekend, well, last week, from Monday to Thursday. It was a U.S. Africa Business Summit.
Okay.
U.S. Africa Business Summit. Now, but of course, you know, nobody knew about it, right? It wasn't in the media. It was one of the things. So anyway, now I do have some friends in Africa, so I kind of, but they hooked me up. So they said, hey, that this is in town. So I went out and interviewed a couple of participants. I interviewed a lady from Gabon and a guy that's from Cameroon, but they live here. But they live here in the United States. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, you know, talking to them. Okay, actually, this program been going on for a while. And so basically, what it is, it's you know how we talk about when Africans come to America, they kind of overhear. Well, basically with what's going on in Africa now, which is, okay, Africa's kicking the military, is kicking the U.S. military out. They're not kicking the dead out. They're not kicking the business piece out. They're kicking the military stuff out, but they won't do business with America. They won't do business with us.
Right.
And so basically, I'm doing research on this program because they've been doing this for for a while, ever since the 90s, I think, from what I understand. And so basically, the United States is basically hooking up with the Africans here. That they've cultivated. I use the word cultivating. They cultivated, and basically setting up to take advantage of the fact that Africa's rising. So in my interview with the two people I interviewed with, and we had a frank conversation, and I was telling them, I said, don't you think we ought to have a U.S. African American, a U.S. Western African Western Hemisphere. And Africa Business Summit, because if it's going to hook up,
mm-hmm.
and if we're not at the business table, then we're going to get laid around by nose by this other group that the U.S. government is curating.
Okay.
So I posted an interview on my page. If anybody cares, go look at it on Facebook. I pinned it at the top. Of my Dallas Civil Rights Issues Group page, and it's probably page somebody's going to see the interview. But basically, again, I found that very interesting that this is going on. And again, nobody in Dallas knew about it.
Hmm. Well, did they advertise it?
No.
Why not?
And it was at the K. Bailey Hutchinson and Omni Center.
At the convention, it was at K. Beta,
and then nobody black know nothing about it.
So who attended?
The Africans that live here in the United States, from Minnesota and Georgia. From the Africans that live here. So it's United States business. I would probably say. Chamber of Commerce. It didn't say Chamber of Commerce, but
mm-hmm.
basically U.S. Chamber of Commerce with Africans that's here working out the commerce.
But it's kind of like their events that they have down here. They invite. Remember, I told you there's 6,000 of them that live
mm-hmm.
here, and
right.
they put on events all of the time. But they do let me know that it's not.
No, this was the big one. This was the U.S. United States.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha.
United States and Africa Business Summit.
Right. But what I'm saying to you is that they have their events all the time.
I had no problem with having an event. Actually, if you see the interview, you kind of see what's up. But no, that's not the issue about them having an event. The issue is that Africa is rising. They kicked out the colonial powers. They're going to start developing and industrializing their country. And they want to work with African Americans. And I'm saying that we're going to have to have a similar business summit for the diaspora in this area. She's talking about some other people. So we need to actually do that here in the hemisphere because they want to work with us. We need to create some instruments in the African-American community where we can participate in Africa's rise. We got kids up at that. And there's opportunities. And they want us to do that. They want us to do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying that. So I just put the information out there so people can know that's what they did. I'm meeting with some folks later on this week. You know, they're going to kind of give me some background on some of the other stuff that goes wrong with that. I mean, you know, but I'm just saying that we just need to be educated and aware. It's a big change going on in Africa, y'all. We don't understand. You know, they'll hook up another group of people over here, and we'll be doing well. We're trying to figure out what happened.
Well, we have to participate. When people like yourself invite Americans that's over here, Nigerians, man, they, like Dr. Mikel is saying, they're connected. They're on roll speed dial. They're on the phones, and whenever there's a bit, they're going to
with each other.
With each other, yeah, absolutely. Whether we show up or not, so we
exactly.
have to respond.
Just like, how about this? Just like we would be if we, as American blacks, were living in Africa, we would connect with the groups of us.
Well, this young lady said to kind of describe, kind of something we need to, between young African lady that was raised over here. She said the big disconnect is that she said when they come from Africa, she said white folks are a minority, so they don't even think about white folks as being whatever. So when they come over here, they don't be thinking like what happened to the African American. They just be thinking about, I'm over here to make my life better, my family, so forth and so on. And so by doing that, they said they really haven't really stopped and, they're not educated that way. And then when they get over here, they got away from us. They're not guided toward our community. They got away from our community. And so,
that's because they don't have PTSD from slavery. That's easy. That's just like when I deal with Filipinos and Hispanics, they don't. It's a different background. I mean, they didn't live the life we lived. Well, we're third and fourth generation free slaves, and when we come out of the '60s, at my age, we're the first free considered generation because we had the right to vote. We had the right to go to public schools and things like that. So.
Yes.
They don't have that history and that luggage that comes along with it. So that burden.
But they do have luggage. They got another kind of luggage. They got the neo-colonial luggage, right?
Yeah, but that's Samsonite when you come over here. You don't have that anymore. You can run away from
that's
there.
Right.
Yeah,
that's Samsonite. How about this, gentlemen? Now, the ones I've been connected to them ever since I was back in college at Texas Women's University, and they don't understand why with black people that live in America, why we don't own everything. Because they said there was no reason we lived in America. We should have power, but they don't understand that particular thing that you just mentioned, Pastor Cooper. This thing called slavery that existed in this country, and the racism, it still exists. We were talking about that just today
with
the person I was counseling with.
But also, your husband's sister, back in the '60s, buying a home.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
His mother. Yeah.
The '70s, and Mr. Arthur it was in the '70s.
Wow.
And Mr. Arthur, what it was is
systematic racism is real.
She's 97. She just passed away. The funeral is this coming up weekend, Mr. Arthur. And the only reason that we're not going to California is because my grandson is being honored. That he graduated in the top 10% of his class from high school, even though he's in college, as you guys know, but he's going back so that he can graduate from high school. So he got academic scholarship and he got a football scholarship. And so his big celebration and honor is this coming up weekend. So my husband's mother's only living sister, 97, And so she moved to California, and she worked as an educator. She and her first husband passed away, and then she and her young son moved to California. At the school where she was teaching, she met this gentleman, fine gentleman, Caucasian gentleman, and they dated, and then they got married. Now my aunt is my husband's aunt is as black as you can get, a beautiful black queen, beautiful, brilliant. And so anyways, she starts to date the Caucasian gentleman. And so then they got married after they dated for about 2 or 3 years, and then they got married. And so she was living in an apartment, and he was living in a townhome or something. So he says, well, now that we're married, I'll move you out, and we go and we find whatever home you want. I'll buy it for you. So they went to this. They looked at the subdivision because they worked in the Gardena School District, right? But, no, they lived. They wanted to live in the Gardena School District, but they worked in the L.A. Unified. So they went around looking at these beautiful subdivisions, these new subdivisions in Gardena. And so they would call and ask, yeah, we got this one that costs $1 million, yada, 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 and everything. So they go, and when they get there, all of a sudden, it wasn't available. And they said, well, we called, and they said it was available. We can come look. So they did that of about 4 or 5 times. And then they finally caught on. So he says, okay, you show me which one you want. I'll go buy it for you, and we'll pay cash for it. So they did. And so she was the first black to move in to that subdivision in Gardena, and they almost fainted when they found out that he was married to a black woman, and they were moving in. But it was too late because the house was all squared away.
What state was this?
Los Angeles, California.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
That's why I try to tell my sister, who thinks there's no racism existing in this country to this day, especially in California. Oh, no, not California. Yeah, nope. California. And you heard people say California was probably one of the most racist cities, racist states in the union. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, that's what happened. So she passed away, 97 years of age. He left her well, but they both worked really, really perfectly well. Yeah, they lived quite well, quite well.
Well, that's quite great. Let me finish my okay. The Africans, but we're gonna get back with y'all. And folks up here. So I'm trying to put a little something. Yeah, but I'll let y'all know about that when I do.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And then we got okay. Then I did my Royce West meeting about
right.
And so basically what came of that, I think I sent y'all the press conference.
Sure.
Basically what came of it was they did all they taught, and then of course you had all these because all of them white for Royce, right? So they went through, kind of throwing shade at, they wasn't being responsible, in my opinion. So anyway, but I had already had what I was going to say written, weeks before. So basically what I just told them was, I've heard y'all say a bunch of great stuff, but I haven't heard anything about responsibility and accountability. I ain't heard them words from nobody. So I went on and went through my stuff, and I, named all these different agencies. And the question I asked was, who's responsible? Who's accountable?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I got through, Royce, I still said some more stuff. Then before Royce said, he said, that's why I got everybody up here now, so we can be accountable, da-da-da-da-da. And then the transportation person, whoever she was, they said, okay, well, what we can do is we can create a website where y'all can watch our progress. So basically, we're going to they're gonna put up a website where we can see the work they're doing,
mm-hmm.
and and we're going to meet every 6 months, so they should have it all done by the next 18 months. So we got like Dot, City of Dallas, right? We got the Rush, we got Dart. Dart didn't show up.
Okay.
They had to apologize, you know, for them not showing up. And so basically what they're going to do is they're going to put, we're going to be looking at more lighting, you know, because that's basically a freeway through a neighborhood. So they can look at, you know, some lights and stuff like that to, you know, to kind of, you know, stem the flow, you know, slow the flow going up through that area. So so we're going to see, you know, from the point of view of accountability.
Right.
You know, what's going to be happening. And then, of course, about a month ago, I got attacked by three pit bulls.
Oh, that's the dog part. Yes, I knew that. I knew about that.
Mike, I didn't bite the dogs. They bit me.
You didn't bite the dogs? I was like, what are you doing biting dogs?
Okay, I guess the question would be, I know that's a civil matter, but you had it, but you went before the people at City Hall in regards to the dogs being free at the park, running around loose at the park.
Uh huh. Yeah. No. I'm having. I got my attorney to help me work with the guy. Oh, but basically, my complaint was, and which why I went and brought the news down there with the night. That was just with me tonight. Was because after dogs bit me, the police never came, and the dog people never came. Nobody came.
I see. Gotcha.
Yeah. I'm set up in an ambulance for about an hour and 15 minutes waiting on somebody to show up. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So what I told the guy was, you know, if that would have been a little kid, I'm paraphrasing because I didn't go through it. If that kid would have been dead by the time that owner would have got to death, would have pulled a kid apart.
Yeah, that's right.
So what I told him was, I said, we got a dog park and we got two dog parks. So we got this park that's a dog park. I say, so. Right. If y'all the city manager, when I talked to her, she told me they were shorthanded or, you know, understaffed something. And I told her, if y'all understaffed like the city manager said, I said, then you need to have the dog people go to the dog park.
Okay, true.
Make this a kid people park.
Yeah, that's it.
If y'all enforce your ordinances, you're not going to enforce it. Then, you know, a week later, after the dog attack, you know, I'm out walking, and this lady coming, again, dog off the leash. But I got
right.
to pick. You're going to get a headache. But anyway, I said, ma'am, that's your dog? She says, yes, my dog. I said, you know he's supposed to be on a leash, though. She said, well, and then she went in her pocket. She said, I got a leash and held it up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What good is that in her pocket? Can you tell me?
You know what I'm saying? Well, that's what I told them tonight. I said, she held up a leash tonight. I got a leash. I said, so what am I supposed to do with that? What am I supposed to do? Who do I call?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I told them, I said, so I gave some suggestions. I told them they need to have a dog people go to the dog park.
Exactly.
And also, and I told them about that old raggedy beer pay system we got. That's the same system we had 20 years ago. You know,
bill pay.
Yeah. You know, you call in, you do a bill pay, and you know, if you call in the first time, you know, you got your. It's kind of like your automatic thing out there, right? Not them. You need to know how to play chess to go through that thing. You'd be like, you know. So anyway, the city manager told me 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago. We're working on that. So I went on and let her have it. I said she told me we was getting a new one, but I haven't seen it.
Wow.
I just gave him a piece of mind.
And then
the police chief, you know, he gonna come. What's your phone number? And so when I talked to the news lady, she said, what did he, what did he say? I said, ma'am, this is the first time I ever met him. I am her. I said, you more than even told me.
Wow.
I'm still waiting. They take that. And then they made me fill out a FOIA. This was the next Tuesday. They had me fill out a FOIA report just to get a report from the dog people, from the animal control folks. Okay, now, roll it forward a month later. I still don't have the FOIA. Now, what's going to be in the FOIA anyway? You didn't show up, so what can be in it?
Right.
All you put in it is that we didn't show up. Tell me why. So I'm asking them why. You know, why y'all, you know, what's up? Why y'all doing? And then I told them about the big screen truck, a trash truck, you know.
Right.
So my street was like a junkyard. You know, folks got their stuff out, and y'all still ain't come picked it up. So I went on and let them have it.
Wow.
I was at the party because they was having a good time. They swore in the mayor, and they was talking about he was talking about the shiny city on the hill.
So you got a new mayor?
Hey, I wait for Ronald Reagan to pop up somewhere. Yeah, somebody links shiny, shiny. You know,
I said,
I hate to be the skunk at the party, but hey, here we go.
Wow. Like they can call you a troublemaker.
It still ain't shining. It may be shining, but it ain't shining on my street. So, you know, y'all need to do y'all jobs. What I told them, hey, I pay taxes.
There you go. You were ruffling some feathers down there tonight, right? And I just sent you guys a text message too. I sent it to you.
I saw that.
To you, so that happened today, Pastor Cooper and Miss Arthur.
Well, they ruffled my feathers first, though.
Yeah, they did. That's it. Well, I'm glad you were speaking up down there, and it looks like everything went in your favor. And so when the police chief asked you for your phone number, what was that you said to him?
Well, I just gave my phone number. I mean, I gave it to him.
You gave it to
him? What day did you report it? Man, I got a police report from y'all.
Stop it.
You know what I mean?
Oh, goodness. So you the one wrote the police report. You ought to know that answer to that, right?
Yeah, see, it's being sucking people intelligence. You know, you just told me you ain't talking to nobody.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I'm just glad.
You've been aggravating your town, huh? I see.
Huh?
They're going to call you the town crier. You better slow down.
You're trying to make
too many changes.
The town crier.
Yeah, you're trying to make too many changes at one time, man. You can't be moving that fast.
Change. I'm just sitting around watching. Hey, here, Roland Martin did that thing with those NAACPers that got suspended. You see that one?
No, I didn't see that. Tell us about that.
I didn't see it.
But I sent that to you. Okay, I'll finish.
Maybe I didn't read that. Can you talk to us about it?
Well, basically, I told y'all some of it on the background. But anyway, this is like what I call the second purge of Derrick Johnson. But anyway, he's been getting rid of presidents, state presidents, branch presidents, and not giving them due process. Just hit them, nothing. Kapoosh. He's not, so now a lawsuit was filed a couple of years ago. Now a new lawsuit is being filed, now another one. And basically, what it comes down to, if you ask him anything about that George Floyd money, or ask him about that NAACP, corporation in Delaware that he started, hey, he gonna get rid of you.
Wow.
So pray for the NAACP, y'all. Now the grassroots is still good. I want people to understand that NAACP grassroots. That ain't the grassroots. Grassroots ready to go. We waiting for some leadership. To put together. I'm playing some plan or whatever, but as you notice in this hour in America, we ain't getting that from none of those organizations. Al Sharpman coming under fire lately for his You know, of course, you know, you make, of course, you know, he makes $3 million a year with a weekend show. So, you know, and he's earning his money right now.
I guess so. $3 million.
Yeah. So he earned his money. He earned his money right now. He equated the college kids on campus with white Nashes. And Mika on morning Joe had to call him down. Look at you know it's bad when Mika got. I mean when Mika got to tell you, you know, her dad, you know, one of them folks, yeah, from back then, you know, and that's her dad. Now she had to call. It's not the same thing. Hey, $3 million. I said, okay, $3 million. I guess he felt like he had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying. So, in this time of revelation, there's just something being information being revealed. The line is going to become clear. So, where you standing? You know,
right.
The guy came out today with some of the people that's housed. You know, they got the Palestinian in prison. He took some videos and sneaked them out. One of the IDF guys, so I guess he don't like one on either. He sneaked on the video.
Right.
I'm going ready. Ooh wee. Right through that.
Yeah.
So you're going to be seeing it on the news here in a little bit, probably the next couple of days. Yeah, it's some insiders over there. They're saying they didn't have enough. They can't, you know. And again, this guy Netanyahu, which his real name is Malachowski from Poland.
Okay.
Malachowski from Poland. So that name he gave it to himself.
That was that right?
We got a lot like him that's over there doing that. And again, he's just trying to stay out of jail. So he's kind of like Trump. He got jail waiting on him. And so this thing is, hey, you know, I'm going to keep this war going as long as I can because I ain't got nothing but jail waiting.
So
you know Trump's not going
up,
to jail.
Now, that was my question. Do you actually think that he's going to jail?
With Netanyahu?
You're talking about Donald Trump.
Trump ain't going to jail because Trump ain't gonna live long enough to go to jail.
Oh my goodness! Oh my!
Look at him. You heard him?
Think he's going downhill?
Well, you heard him talking about him slumping over in court, going to sleep.
Oh well, see, I think that my gosh, isn't that the truth? I mean, he's just disassociating himself from what's going on around him. I don't believe that. Yeah, he's getting his rest, right?
He's getting his rest.
He can't help but rest, is what I'm telling you.
Oh, no. He has no conscience. This guy has no guilt, no conscience.
He's saying,
and going to sleep.
Mhm. Yep. Going to sleep.
Yeah.
I'm not fooling with you all. I'm taking my nap while y'all sit up there.
I know one thing. The next person out here say Sleepy Joe. I'm just gonna put out a picture of Trump night.
Well, Dr. McCullough, she played the clip earlier. She might have to play it again for you. But you're talking about Sleepy Joe.
I think I will have to do that. Yeah. I'm gonna have to do it.
Now, y'all got to drop that line.
He Donald and Sleepy Donald. He's Sleepy and Sleepy.
But we're living in some exciting times. I'm just glad to be
here. Boy, I'm trying to tell you.
I can't thank anybody I'd rather go through this with than y'all.
Yeah. But we were even talking about the climate change, global warming, all of that stuff is real. We're talking about what's happening out here in Southeast Texas and East Texas, and it's real.
Oh, yeah, I had that campaign thing come out that you was talking about that guy about that, you know, about the particular guy. How did he do?
May 28th is the runoff. May 28th. There's some mud slinging going on right now, boy. I mean, they slinging both sides, slinging mud.
How's he looking for him?
Right now, to me, it's neck and neck. I mean, it's not good. I mean, it lets you know the state of the union, man. I mean, there are some folks that, and the people that's trying to out him are the same folks that supporting Donald Trump, whether he goes to Rikers Island or goes to the White House. They're going to support him, and Covey's purchased by those guys, and they're creating lies and rumors of lies, and Dade Phelan is coming back with his ads talking about the money that Covey has comes from big money, comes from TikTok, comes from Beto O'Rourke's people that supported him, and they just saying any and everything to go after each other.
Right.
And it's been an area where it's more Trump folks than anything else. And so he's in trouble. I'm just telling you. He says he has his little calendar, and I spoke with him. He says he has it under control. But listen, I am a prophet. They better vote. If you want your speaker, they better wake up and vote.
What percentage of black folks that got in that district where you at? That they drew you into?
You talking to him. 0.01. I'm it.
You quit?
I'm it.
Well, would it help him to have you on the stump, or would that hurt him?
It'd hurt him.
Oh.
It'd hurt him. Because they're already saying that he's helped out so many. They called him a rhino, helped out liberals because they appointed so many folks, and he did. He appointed a lot of folks that we know to chairs, state chairs,
if we can get the Senate race, then he got to get out the primary though. He got to get out the primary. That's what he's saying. He got to get through this runoff. So
he wins. Whoever wins this, there's no opposition. I would be the opposition in this race, but I would have one vote. If I ran in that race for District 21. I get one vote. There's no Democrats in that whole district.
No, two votes. No, you get two votes and your wife. Right?
What is the position, Pastor Cooper?
State representative, and he's the Speaker of the House,
okay.
Dade Phelan. He's your Speaker of the House.
Right.
And he spread his money. He had $5 million in his coffers, and he spread it out to Republicans and Democrats. And they voted him in power when they helped their elections. And Ron Reynolds is a recipient of that. That's why Ron became the something of the year, legislator of the year award. He received that. There's a guy by the name of Thing Durden or someone in Houston. There's another state representative that he appointed to a key position. Manuel, our other rep that's in District 22, he appointed him to some key positions to make a difference in climate change, the border, and things like that. And all he's done is been the Speaker of the House. He's represented all of Texas, not just one side of Texas. He opened up a VA clinic in Orange County, I believe it's Orange County. Yeah, I mean, so he's done some things, and now they have opposition coming out talking about he's a spoiled kid because his family came from a line of oil money and land rights and things like that. He is what he is. But at the same time, he's doing the work to maintain that. And because of that, his knowledge about land, he has gotten rid of China in land investments. A lot of people don't realize that China is going around purchasing up land in the United States everywhere.
That's what happens when you get the right campaign against the right. The only thing they can say is, you just a small kid. Wow.
That's exactly right. That's all they can say. Because he's actually helped out Texas, not just Southeast. He's helped out Texas. And if you call up Ron Reynolds and all those guys, they say, now, matter of fact, when we had our protest, he was one of the ones that listened to us. That's how our representatives ended up in D.C. He was the only fighting chance we had. And then they said he came to the chamber drunk. That came on the ad, the news and stuff.
Wow.
And somebody said that he had some kind of prescription issue and he slurred his speech. He was tired. He had been in there 16, 17 hours, and so they got that one clip. But forget all the other mm-hmm. clips the past 5, 6 years where he's run that state seat well. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's pushed some great agendas. And watch this. I am a Southern Baptist minister / non-denomination minister, which means that I have some conservative views about myself. And at the same time, without judging anyone, so there are some things that need to be done that's right. It's like the books that's in our schools. Mm-hmm. I read some of those books. Some of those books shouldn't be there. We have to look mm-hmm. at all of that stuff. We have to look at all of that stuff.
Is this understanding what conservative is? And again, yes. When you hear them speak conservative and liberal in political terms, they be talking yes. about stuff like taking away your voting rights. And,
right. You know, but that's why I said, but we can't shy away from it. We have to talk about it. And the reason why we say that we need someone like that's looking at those things and don't leave him out there on the plank by himself. I've been out there, someone
right.
called me up. He said, you got a picture. You took a picture with the Speaker of the House. I said, think about what you just said. I have a conversation and communication with the Speaker of the House, the state of Texas, the second most powerful man, only to the Lieutenant Governor. Mm-hmm. In the state mm-hmm. of Texas, if you want something changed for your kids in schools and education, you need to have a relationship with the Speaker of the House.
Well, what I'm just saying is black people are conservative by nature is what I'm saying. We're conservative
right.
by
and
nature.
We're saying the same thing. We had lumped in
with a, you know, like they threw, you know, like I told you about how they go and take everything that they don't like and they put it in one bag. And then they call it us, and then we vote against the bag because you know
right.
this is liberal. And so I'm just saying that. But what they call it liberal is what I'm trying to say. What they call it liberal is me and you having voting rights, me and you having you know the right to
right.
self-determine.
Right.
I mean, they call it liberal for us to want our rights. So you know that's why I try to stay right. with them conservative labels because so when it comes to black folks. It really don't apply. I'm just saying.
But I like to say it, and because I want people to know that I'm not afraid of it. I had one guy tell me, he said, "You have confused politics." I said, "No, I don't." I said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "Do you want mm-hmm. your children to go to school, good school, neighborhood schools, your neighborhood?" I said, "Why are you working so hard to get your kids into an address to go to a certain school?" I said, "You forgot we had that conversation." I said, so what mm-hmm. we need are the same rules, same ideas in every community. We don't need you to say, well, this is for that community, this is for this community. No, I want good safety. I want good policing. I want great schools.
Mm-hmm.
I want people that's qualified. I want to hold people accountable. But, you know, most people mm-hmm. think that, like you saying, when you put the labels on, oh, liberal doesn't do this, liberal, we just anything goes. No, that's not anything goes. You know, we have moral.
Right.
You used to say, "What's the voice of moral authority?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did.
And I guess all I'm saying is that when we use those terms, me, I'm just speaking for me. My
right.
issues get all conglomerated with a bunch of stuff that ain't what I'm trying to do. Is all I'm trying to say. And I'm just saying that when they be hollering liberal and conservative, they're basically talking about. You know, the Trumpy types, what are they talking about? You know, people that want their right types. So if me and you want our rights, they call it, so whether you want or not, you're a liberal because you want your voting rights, Mike. That's all
right.
I'm saying. And I know.
I hear you, but I'm not running away from those terms and terminology. And because a lot of our folks we grew up with, they don't know that those terms. They don't even know what they mean. So one of the reasons why I like education, I go back and get a degree for this, get a certificate for that, get everything, because I want to go and learn the words, the 17-letter words, and then break it down and bring it to the level, because the average person in eighth grade reading, some right now, these kids are graduating fourth grade reading. So we
right.
have to break it down, bring the terms to where they can understand it and use it and digest it. And that's what I do, and that's how I do it. My church does what I do in the community, and people get it. I have people call me up and say, "Why are you friends with the chief police?" I say, "First of all, I'm not friends because you see, I take a picture with him. Now I'm friends with him. No, I'm allowed in that circle to challenge his thinking Otherwise, he's not exposed to what he needs to be exposed to.
Right.
And hold him accountable at the same time. People miss it. And I said, I'm not afraid of it. I had an Anglo woman that is a liberal. I mean, she's more liberal than the most liberals, okay? And she wants to be whatever. And so she called me up. She saw the picture. She said, so you're not Republican? I said, whoa, what are you talking about? You know, I saw you in the picture with Dave. I said, he is my state representative. Do you not know? You knew what? You've been at my house party. You've been at my Christmas party. You know where I live. Oh, well,
right.
My state rep, I said, well, you have a relationship with your state rep. I know your state rep, but when I need something done, I need to go to his office and knock the door, and his secretary and his office manager knows that I mean business, and when I show up, they're going to grab him, and he's going to listen to what I have to say. And that's what we need.
Dude.
We need representation.
Did she know that that's your state representative?
That's my point.
She know that?
She had no clue. And watch this. And if I had never taken a picture with him and put it out there that this is the guy we need to keep in office, she would have never known. So we can't shy away from having relationships with folks. One of the best moments in my life was about 3 or 4 years ago. I was in Tyler, Texas, and we were protesting in one of the most beautiful parks I've ever been in, that Four Square Park. I don't know the name of Dr. McKellar. But the same lady that we were protesting with was Mayor Pro Tem. She was just city councilwoman. But she ran across the street in a skirt, and Anglo police officer came to her aid and assisted her to move quickly and expeditiously through the crowd so she can make it to her next appointment. Now, that was our friend and radio show host here, Dr. McKellar. So no one probably paid attention. I paid attention to that. So we have to move around letting people know we're not afraid to appreciate folks doing their job as in position, not necessarily on the same page and not necessarily in opposition because they happen to be Anglo or Republican. We have to make sure that everyone is not our enemy. Everyone is not our frenemy. Everyone is not our foe. And everyone's not our friend just because they're in the same boat.
Excellent. Great point. Great point. Well, I've enjoyed that dialogue. I've enjoyed listening to you, gentlemen. Mr. Arthur, Pastor Cooper and I were talking before you came in about climate change. And so I announced to him, and then we'll announce to you as well, that that we just got a grant through NASA and University of Texas at Austin, University of Texas at Houston Health Science Center. For the next 3 years, we will be studying climate change, how we can make that transition if, in fact, we have another storm like Erie that we had in 2021, that all of Texans will be prepared and that we will have places to put them if, in fact, their utilities are out. And in particular, electricity. We know we lost water, we lost electricity, and it took weeks and weeks for some people to get back up and running again.
So you say NASA?
So they give you
a preparatory aid for disasters, or y'all actually doing scientific work on climate change?
A little bit of both, I'd say. The main thing is for us to figure out what we can do in order to house people and make sure that they are cared for when we do have climate change, and then to show people that there is climate change. And we can see right now, I was telling Pastor Cooper that the damage that happened there in Omaha, Nebraska to my family members who have never had, they personally did not experience damage. They just had flooding in their area. But in the southern part of Omaha, Nebraska, the tornado hit and destroyed lots of homes and lots of property. they've never had tornadoes before. But, you know, we have tornadoes down this way and everything. And then Nacogdoches is an area where you get a lot, where they get a lot of bad flooding and all that. So we just want to show people that climate change is real, number one. That's the scientific part of it. And then, but that if, in fact, our climates change to the point where people lose their electricity and lose their waters and everything, that we will be prepared in Texas to take care of our citizens and them not have to spend days without water and electricity, whether it's solar panels, whether it's warming stations. My being on the emergency management team, we take a look at the possibility of using our own convention center as a warming station and other areas. But that's what the grant is about. It's we'll be working closely with EPA. I talked with them. They, as a matter of fact, they called me on Thursday and told me that my paperwork was great, everything was in, and we're good to go. And so the grant kicks off in September. And so next couple weeks we'll be coming together and working via Zoom. And then we brought in four other community-based organizations, CBOs, to bring them in as a part. So we're going to have a full operation going on here in Tyler, Texas, and working in conjunction with NASA. We're very pleased about it.
Well, congratulations. And
Thank you.
If something happened up here, I'm coming to Tyler.
I know that's the truth. Well, actually, it's for all over Texas. That's what I'm saying. The grant is for us to make sure that Texans don't ever experience what we experienced with Irene in 2021. So our studies will be for the entire state of Texas.
Okay.
And it goes on for 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is this thing I can do to help? No.
There you go. We appreciate that. And I was telling that to Pastor Cooper as well. Yeah. So
absolutely.
We're pretty excited about it. I think it's going to change. I think it's going to be a great thing for my organization as well as those other four community-based organizations that we brought on board. Yep, that's it. Well, it's 9:58, so we have any final comments? I also talked really quickly, Ms. Arthur, I told Pastor Cooper we're in a runoff in District 2 of City Council. That position has been held by African Americans since our ancestors fought that people who live in the black communities would have a black voice speaking for them. But now we have a runoff, and we have the Caucasian gentleman and the black woman. It's going to be in the runoff June the 15th. Early voting begins June the 3rd.
Okay, so
who is it in the runoff?
The young lady, the black lady, is her name is Petra Hawkins.
The one we
talked
about, right?
Yes. And then of course, the Caucasian gentleman is Stephen Dinger.
Okay.
And so nobody, there were three people, and nobody got 50 plus one.
You know, we figured.
Say again?
But you remember, we figured it was going to be a runoff.
Yeah, right. We sure did. But there was two blacks that were in that race,
right.
And even with the two,
right.
Putting those two black votes together, they still did not get 50 plus one, and they only got a few votes more than the Caucasian gentleman. He got 302 votes. So it's going to be interesting how that turns out. They've gerrymandered the lines, and so they go all out into a different direction, I think.
I see. Yeah, the case is in court right now. I saw some of that. I got to go back and look at it again. It's an appeals court.
Which case?
Man, they did here in Texas. The one that not a case down in Galveston.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right.
You know,
okay, it's 10 o'clock. We gotta go. So thank you,
gentlemen.
It's great to be back here. Yeah, Miss Rihanna,
all right,
happy
well,
Mother's
I Day. I call Charlotte at the end here. Appreciate you.
All right. Glad you could make it in.
Mike, I hope you
keep up the great work.
Mike, I hope you enjoyed yourself. So.
No, I did.
Yeah, great
I,
2 hours.
He just got to want to get in. I knew it.
Thank you, guys. We kept telling you to press one. Go ahead, Miss Rihanna. We're turning it over to you.
You
told me
I blocked
to press one, but he didn't do it.
You know,
I
know what we need to do. All right,
when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be
right
ours. Oh,
one day.
When the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, no.
Keep on the God, you're going to win that war in Africa.
Glory. Oh,
hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, no.
Glory, glory.
Oh, now the war is not over, victory isn't won, but we'll fight on to the finish, and then when it's all done, we'll cry glory, oh glory, oh, we'll cry glory, oh.
For every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon, it's to stay peaceful, we sing. Our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win the war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, oh,
Thank you so much for listening. Have a good night, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now.